You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here on a Friday post-Celtics win over the Oklahoma City Thunder that I swear was going to be nothing close to a win in the first half. But Celtics pulled it out 101-95. Big third quarter, big second half. Lots to get to. Let's just introduce ourselves. For those of you who don't know us, we're the Rain and Jays. I am John Corrales. Samuel Jamison Packard III in a very spacious studio, right?
Yes, I'm recording live from a car outside my girlfriend's apartment because apparently I yell too much during podcasts and it keeps her roommates up when they're trying to go to sleep. So I'm coming from a street in Medford, Massachusetts. I got some handwritten notes, but I'm ready to podcast, folks.
This is professional shit right here, man. This is it. All right, let's run down the raw numbers first. Celtics led by 24 points out of Jason Tatum, who had a pretty good game, but still not crazy about the shot selection. He shot 8 of 18, so 24 points, 6 rebounds, and assists. 21 points, 10 rebounds. Marcus Smart, his second 2010 game in a Celtics uniform. He did that in 29 minutes.
Wait, did you say Marcus Smart or Marcus Morris?
It's Marcus Morris.
I was going to say Marcus Smart at 20 points. Sorry, no. That's insane. No, Marcus Morris. Mook. Hitting all sorts of threes.
My fault. Marcus Morris, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 4 of 5 from 3, awesome. Al Horford, also awesome from behind the arc, 3 of 5 from 3, all of those coming on back-to-back-to-back plays in the third quarter. 19 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists for him. Kyrie Irving also in double digits, 15 points for him. Okay, so basically two games here. The first half, which was its own game, in which the Celtics scored 34 points. Then the second half, where the Celtics almost doubled it and scored 67 points, 40 of those came into the third quarter. So let's split this into two. The first half was one of the most frustrating crap fests I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know if we could sum it up any better when you talk about making shots versus missing shots. And they played better in the third quarter than they did in the first half, but so much of that third quarter was making shots that they were missing a lot of in the first half.
Yeah, they were 0 of 11 from deep in the first half. And it wasn't just that. It did feel like their offense got very stagnant, and there were a lot of long twos, especially from Jason Tatum, who seems to be the king of the long two with his Mamba mentality. Even the open threes that they, it would have not have been as bad if they had knocked down some of those open threes, but they just didn't. And it was just like this again. They really couldn't do anything. 34 points and a half is insane. I'm pretty sure Dame Lillard had 30 points and a half tonight. Steph Curry the other night had, freaking 50 points in three quarters. Like that's an atrocious, offensive performance by the Boston Celtics. And it wasn't just that they didn't make those 11 threes. They took some bad shots. It's just, I don't know what it is, but the erratic City Five has not been erratic whatsoever. They just don't seem to get good shots at the start of games. They don't start in rhythm. And I don't really know what the solution is because it didn't feel like in the third quarter, and we'll have to go back and watch it and see like what was different, but it didn't there was definitely some more dribble penetration. They were attacking the rim more and they got more fouls, but then they just started making threes, and it really started with Al Horford. Oh, I actually started Gordon Hayward with the first possession out of the half. But after that, just knocking down some open threes were really do a lot for your offense. Just opens everything up. But yeah. I don't think they played drastically different in the third quarter than they did in the first half.
No, they moved a little bit better. I started to see some movement that had purpose. Now, at the end of the first half, so at halftime, I just threaded out a bunch of tweets that I probably, in retrospect, should have just put into a column, but I threaded it out. And one of the things I was talking about was they don't seem to pass with any purpose. They didn't in the first half. Their passing has mostly been a guy that says, I'm going to beat my mismatch or beat the guy who's facing me, not getting to where they want to go and saying, okay, I've been cut off. Now I'm going to pass and you try. And then that guy tries and says, okay, now your turn. And there's no real effort to move defenders, and we keep bringing up the get the ball side to side. That gets defenders moving and gets defenders having to make a decision, and they just don't pass with that level of purpose as much as they should. My concern is that they've got a bunch of guys that are better than the defender in front of them. So Kyrie, Tatum, Brown and Hayward are all probably going to be better than the defender that's facing them. And if they're not, they can get a switch and get a worse defender on them. And that just makes them all want to attack that mismatch. But what they don't do is just continue to move the ball with the purpose of getting the best available shot. They're trying to get the best available matchup, and then they're trying to score. And there's a big difference in that offense. And I think we saw that in the first half, that they're trying to get the best available matchup and not the best available shot. And I think if they work for the best available shot, then first halves like that will be fewer and further in between, because they'll eventually, all of these guys will be able to score. The ball will find the right guys and everybody will accomplish the goal that they're trying to get without doing some of the things that they're doing right now.
I think I agree with you for the most part. I think they were better in this first half than they were against Orlando and against the Knicks. There were some moments where they did find, they worked the ball and they found an open three. I can think of Jason Tatum in the second quarter actually kind of giving up what I thought was like a pretty good look at a layup to find Kyrie wide open for a three, and then he missed it. And so I think they played a little bit better in terms of ball movement in this game. It just happens in the first half. They missed a number of open threes. And then it's like understandable. It's just like psychology. They started pressing a little bit. The passing a little bit too much just to try and get that perfect shot. I did see some evidence of that. And then passing, I think there was one play where Hayward was driving and trying to pass, like forced it to Kyrie Irving after the drive. And it didn't work out. They don't look crisp out there, especially in the first half. And then it just feels like once a couple of shots went down, they played a little bit looser. And the other thing is that the Oklahoma City Thunder played a terrible second half.
Oh, they did.
Like, they really turning the ball over left and right. Like, other than Abrines or whatever his name is, he's the one shooter on that team. Maybe a few moments of Pat Patterson, but Westbrook was dog shit tonight. And they play, and talk about long twos. Like, their entire offense was just built around long twos. So their bad second half, and they're really, I think the Celtics defense deserves a lot of credit because they forced them into those shots, but that's what kept them in the game. And that's what like allowed them to come back from 16. Is that, I mean, any sort of competent offense should have taken that 16-point lead and just continued building with it.
Yeah, they're a bit of a mess, and people want to bring up that they don't have Roberson, and that kind of changes their identity, but, man, look, Roberson's good. He's a great defender. But
he's not going to change their offense.
He's not going to change. Exactly what I was going to say. He's a nothing on offense. So now, of course, that level of defender can trigger offense by getting transition opportunities. But if you're looking to Andre Roberson to be the thing that changes your team when you're the Thunder and you have Westbrook and Paul George, you are in some deep shit, my friends, because that's not right. That's not like, I get it. Like, if Marcus Smart went down, we'd be saying some of the similar things, but that shouldn't be that big of an impact. So, yeah, the Thunder, man, Westbrook was trash down the stretch. Trash. They scored.
It feels like it's still his preseason because he had the injury.
True.
Yeah. But he even, like, his game is taking pull-up long twos. Like, that's his entire. If he's not attacking the rim, he's not the best, like, the greatest three-point shooter. All he's going to do is take, like, long pull-ups from around 20 feet. And that was just, like, playing right into the Celtics' hands. It felt like the Thunder went away from Paul George in the second half. And a lot of that is probably Celtics' defense not letting Paul George be the one that beat them. But a lot of Westbrook long twos and then a lot of passing to guys you just don't want shooting. In the first half, they were actually doing a great job of getting lobs at the rim and playing it within the pick and roll, and that Nerlens Noel had some dunks. Steven Adams, who's the greatest human being alive, he had some moments. But in the second half, the rim was not available to the Thunder, and they really settled for crappy shots.
Yeah, and look, the Celtics made an adjustment and they prevented some of that stuff too. So there was a lot going on there in the second half. I really wonder, like, Billy Donovan's got to be at or near the front of the line to, as far as the hot seat is concerned. You know, there are probably, what, 3-4 guys in the NBA right now. Billy Donovan's got to be close. If this continues, they're going to give him some rope because they don't have Roberson, and Westbrook is working his way back in. So it is a good point that this is still part of his preseason, but still, you got to figure this out pretty quickly because they haven't won a game yet, and that's not how this was supposed to go. Before we continue, I always like, after a game like this, to listen to the opponent's podcast. So go subscribe to the Locked On Thunder podcast. Always a great job over there with those guys. And just check out, there's a Locked On podcast for every NBA team. So before the Pistons game, go check out Locked On Pistons. If you want to go back and see what was being said after the Magic game, go check out Locked On Magic. There is a Locked On podcast for every team. So I'm looking forward to hearing the Thunder take on this game because it's always good to see things through another perspective. So check out all of the Locked On podcasts that are available to you. Search for them wherever you found the Locked On Celtics podcast. Okay, just one thing that just stands out to me is Jaylen Brown is continuing to struggle. I mean, he is just not right. Something is not right with Jaylen Brown. And he had, look, 6 points, 1 of 8 from the field, 0 of 2 from three, and 4 of 6 from the line. So he's just not getting the opportunities, and I saw him take some bad shots. I think there's something in his head. I don't think he's playing the way he played last year, and I think, and I don't know if you agree, I feel like he came into the season feeling really, really good about himself, and he should have. He should feel good about himself. I still think he's a really, really good player, but I think he's trying to do too much, and I think there's some level of, I'm just as good as these other guys kind of going on with him, and he's trying too hard to prove it. Whether that's right or wrong, whether that's a right or wrong take, that's what it feels like out there. He's taking some really, really tough shots. There are a couple of times where he took contested long fadeaway twos and early in the shot clock, and I was just like, No, that is just not good. And we saw that he was not on the floor down the stretch in the fourth quarter. The closing lineup was Tatum, Kyrie, Al, Mook, and Smart. And that says a lot that Jaylen Brown was not part of that closing lineup. In the second half, he played 14 minutes in the second half, but in the fourth quarter, 6 minutes to start the fourth quarter, and it didn't do much. So I don't know what your take is on Jaylen Brown, but he is really getting lost in this whole thing at the moment.
I'm a little bit less concerned about Jaylen. He did have some those bad shots tonight, but I think that was kind of indicative of the rest of the team having some bad shots. I like the fact that he got to the line at least six times. I would like him to make a little more than four, but you can't really get I try not to get upset with missed free throws because it's not like there's like mental mistakes or like they're trying to miss. They're doing their best there. But how many fouls did he have tonight? Because I don't remember him getting into as much foul trouble as he has in the past.
Three.
And so I didn't. Oh, so three's not bad. And I think he played pretty solid defense the entire night. I agree. Is that
oh, I'm sorry. Offense, two. Just two. My fault.
Only two. Even better. And so I'm less concerned. I think he's going to like get it together. I do like that he was still attacking, the rim, but you're right. I think the entire team needs to limit their long twos, especially early in the shot clock. Like a long two is fine, especially if it's Jason Tatum, because he's, insane, but you got to work a little bit to try and get a better shot. And I think the long two is something that's interesting, especially with Jason Tatum, because in that first half, he was really the only one who was scoring any points, but he's also the most prone on this team, it feels like right now, to taking bad shots. Now, he can make them because he's amazing, but he takes a lot of sidestep threes, so like one-on-one, some kind of some moves that are right, like a couple steps inside the three-point line, some fadeaways, and it's frustrating, but it's also like when he makes it, it's like, woo, damn, that's talented. It's a very mixed feelings while watching Jason Tatum play, especially when the rest of the team's not making shots, because you're a little bit less upset with Tatum taking that because, like, well, how else are we going to score? But for the long run, it's like not the ideal shot for him. And so I think like the next step in his development, I think this is something Jay has mentioned, is knowing when to create his own shot and knowing when to like create shots for his teammates. It still feels like he's a little heavy right now on just kind of isolation basketball. And even though he's been very good so far, is kind of feels like the alpha on the team right now. I think he needs to check his shot selection, moving forward.
So I get two reactions to the Tatum thing. One is that I'm very curious about the whole alpha thing, because the Celtics have, like I said before, four guys, but we can say three because Jaylen is I think the fourth of four. So the three big scorers every night are going to be Kyrie, Hayward, and Tatum. When things are going right and going into the playoffs, that's the quote unquote big three as far as scoring goes. Any one of those guys can go off for 25, 30 points. And not to say the other guys can't, but those are your three prime suspects. But we look at Kyrie as the star, but the other guys, I'm sure, and especially Tatum, feel just as good. We don't have a hierarchy. And I just wonder if that is...
I kind of feel like Tatum's already on top. I think they kind of already defer to Tatum.
But see, this is already the because he's... Is he? Or, like, Kyrie can go into full takeover mode. Kyrie's got the ball. He's got the handles. He's got a good jump shot. Eventually, that will shine. We saw a little bit of it again tonight. But Kyrie can go into full takeover mode. Kyrie can go into the full heat check mode and bring the ball up and dominate. Now, he hasn't necessarily, but I'm sure we can sit there and have this argument of, is it Tatum? Is it Kyrie? And my whole point is that I just wonder if you don't have that clear 1-2-3, is that a problem? And the only team that doesn't really that can escape that is Golden State. When they is Durant one, is Steph one, and even if they decide to take turns, they're both so much better. They're so great that they can take turns and do crazy things. The Celtics, these guys are great, but not that good. I don't know. There's a thought that I'm having right now, and I've had it over the past, I guess, week or so. I just wonder if the fact that the Celtics are this talented, but they don't have that one guy that so obviously stands out head and shoulders above the rest to be like, okay, I'm the obvious number one. And then if I can't cook, then we go to option number two and option number three. I feel like the hierarchy like that tends to lead to a calmer offense. And I just wonder if the fact that all of those guys can kind of do their own thing takes away from the other guys, and they're just all kind of fighting for the opportunity to do their thing.
See, I think I'm less concerned about that because it feels like they're willing to ride the hot hand or go with the matchup that works. I can't remember what game it was, but it was the end of the first half, and the Celtics had the last possession, and Kyrie and both Tatum were in the game, and Kyrie gave it up to Tatum, and you could hear Kyrie being like, take him, Tatum. And so, like, I think they're kind of defer to each other, but I also think it's just like, it's who's hot in the moment, and then it seems play specific. I mean, 95-95 tonight, the Celtics need a basket. Who do they go to? They go to Mook. Because that's the matchup that was playing. He had Steven Adams, who's of course going to be playing on the inside, closing out on him. Like, that was the best situation there. I don't think there necessarily needs to be a defined alpha. I think Brad is going to determine that a lot with like just who's playing the best or who has the best matchup. I think you mentioned it earlier, but like the closing lineup, he went with Mook and Smart over Hayward and Jaylen. And that was what was working best for the time. And I don't know. Right now, if it's one possession, a tie game, or even like down one, and you're basically just going, like, hopefully you're not just running a one-on-one play, but this is the NBA and that's kind of what happens at the end of the games. I don't think it's a problem that you have multiple options there of people who can go to. I don't really see, I think Kyrie and Tatum have so much respect for each other. Tatum refers to Kyrie as the best player on the team. And I think Kyrie, is a large fan of Tatum, lets him wear his, Wild cereal shoes.
yes.
That's just, I don't see it as much of an issue right now. Cause when the offense is really going well, it shouldn't be as much one-on-one, breaking people down. And so I don't think there should be as much of a hierarchy needed. It's really an equal opportunity offense. So I'm less concerned about that. I feel like Brad's going to go with one, whatever matchup works the best, and two, who's making shots. I mean, Mook, we got to talk more about Mook, but that guy, I think I'm most confident when he takes a three than anyone else in the team. It just looks like it's going in.
Yeah.
And it's insane. It's like, that's not what his reputation is. He, of course, was, took his classic long twos in the first half, but in the second half, and then especially there in the third quarter, he was wet. He was drilling them. And that's huge for the Celtics off the bench because they needed every single one of his three pointers. And that one late tied at 95 was, I don't understand how he got that wide open.
Yeah. No, but before we get to that, I said I had two reactions to Tatum. Here's my second reaction. Do you think that Kobe Bryant is is devious enough to play the long game and screw up a Celtics player so badly that do you think he took Tatum in for the express purpose of, I'm going to screw this kid up because he's a Celtic and watch what I do to the Celtics?
No, see, here's the thing. Kobe Bryant didn't intentionally do this, but he's so much of a jerk that it's basically happening anyway. It's basically, you got to measure it based on the results here and not Kobe's intentions. But I do think it feels like every single time they're on national television, Jason Tatum's getting interviewed, he's like, I wanted to be Kobe Bryant. And then you see his footwork and some of the moves he's shooting, and it's like, yeah, that's a Kobe shot right there. So I don't think Kobe's devious enough to deliberately try to take out one of the Celtics, but I do think he's poisoned the young mind of Taco J. And I think it's like a constant battle between Brad Stevens on one shoulder and Kobe Bryant on the other.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, when it was happening, I was like, all right, this is cool. It's fine. And, you know, whatever he does can be contradicted by Brad Stevens. But I just feel like he might just be like this worm that kind of buried too deep in. I don't know. The long two thing, it really bothers me. So anyway, Back to Marcus Morris. Look, Marcus Morris is just having himself the best season he possibly can right now. He's been passing. He's shooting out of his mind. He's doing everything the Celtics need him to do. I'm happy. Like, he could have been very disruptive, but he's doing everything he needs to do. I'm psyched, man. And on top of it, I'm just in love with the whole Flask Dad thing. I mean, the guys, the weird Celtics Twitter guys are calling him Flask Dad, and I just think it's the most hilarious thing. It's just so perfect. It's great.
So for those who don't fully get it, they think Marcus Morris is like an alcoholic father who shows up to your Little League game with a flask in his hand and is coaching and yelling from the sidelines and just basically shooting from the hip. Probably literally, figuratively, but it kind of fits the entire Mook experience. And he took over tonight. And what's awesome is that the Riffs man predicted it basically in the third quarter. He posted it into existence. And so shouts to Flaskad and shouts to the Riffs man.
It's great. It's just great. Okay, let's see. Another note before we get to the hashtags. I'm just looking over my notes here. Marcus Morris loves killing Oklahoma City. Maybe that would be a great transition into the Iranian junk or something. But I love the Chris Forsberg story about Marcus Morris being pissed off at the Gatorade commercial that Paul George had, that inaccurate one where he calls ball game and he hits a game winner, which I don't know if he's ever hit a
game
winner.
Which Paul George has never done.
Yeah. But this is the depths of the lunacy that some of these guys...
I didn't see this story. You have to explain this more to me. Why was Mook upset with that commercial?
Mook is upset with that commercial because he feels like his body was used, like, in the commercial. Now, I'm going to look this up real quick so I can properly explain the...
That wasn't against the Celtics, was it, while he was a member of the Pistons?
No, back when he was with the Pistons. So... He says, I'm going to take you back to a little story why that meant a lot to me. And he's talking about the game winner he hit last season against the Thunder. He says, 2 years ago, I was in Detroit, and Paul George did a commercial. I never told anybody about this. In the game, it was a Gatorade commercial, and he was counting down 5-4-3. And I noticed because it was like, wait, it's a Detroit Pistons jersey on. They blanked my number out, but it was the exact form of my body, and everybody I told was like, oh, and then I'd seen that and I thought that was just so disrespectful. Now
that's NBA petty greatness. I love that.
That is right. It gets better because, well, let's just start there for a second. I couldn't tell. Like, I just thought those were actors in the commercial. Like, at no point did I think that was supposed to represent an actual Piston at the time.
I'm thinking back and remembering the commercial now. It was clearly Marcus Morris and it was a direct shot at the throne.
Okay. Whatever. But then this is the best part of the quote. After he was clearly upset, he says, first of all, I would have locked his ass down. And second of all, it wasn't me. So
first of all, they tried to disrespect me by saying it was me. Second of all, it wasn't me. But that's some great circular logic from my main man Mook there.
I mean, that's just as good as it gets. The fact that he took such offense to a commercial that he knew wasn't him, but somehow he took it as that's supposed to represent me. And then he was like, well, that's not how it would have gone in real life.
Oh, and the craziest part is that he used that, fueled him to hit a game winner against the Thunder last year and then to get 4 or 5 threes and basically the game winner this year.
Yeah.
Like, he really has it out for the Thunder and Paul George, which, like, Paul George has any creative control over the commercial.
Right.
Or, like, make that look like Marcus Morris I shoot over.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's insane. Yeah. That is, wonderful stuff.
Yeah. Right. So, okay. So that's any other notes from the game before we go to the Twitter?
Quick Gordon Hayward update.
Oh, yes.
He hit a three, but he was not great. But I did like the plays in which he was, they basically just called clear outs and had him post up on Westbrook underneath. If teams are going to switch everything and you're going to put a point guard on Gordon Hayward, immediately clear out, put him in the underneath the basket, let him post up. I think that's a fantastic development, and I was excited to see that. Other than that, not much from Hayward, but I thought that was a cool little wrinkle.
I'm in. I like it too. All right, let's get to the hashtags, the Rain and Jays hashtags. I like these. There's a very clear line of demarcation here. At Micah_Angelo, Micah Malloy. After this first quarter, Kaizen? And
can't get too high, can't get too low. Just got to get a little bit better.
That's it. The answer is yes, Kaizen.
Process is over results.
That's it. That's it. Andy Cahill at Life of Cahill. It's the end of the first quarter. Celtics have 14 points, and I'm so confused why the Celtics don't go faster. Pace is the name of the game, and the Celtics have the athletes to do it. I will only use the quote from Brad Stevens where he said, sometimes you can look paceful when you're getting the shots up quick, and sometimes you may not seem paceful because you're working to get a good shot. So I agree that the Celtics are better off running and like kind of running gun, but we got to make a choice. If we want them to run a gun and be 110, you know, field goal attempts per game, then we just got to live with some of the bad shot selection, because it's not just going to be all run and gun and dunks. I think they can work the ball a little bit. They can increase the pace, yes. But I'd rather see them work the ball around. That'll be better. And you'll start to see some really good offense if they can work the ball around with a purpose, like I said before. Let's see. Back to Micah Malloy. Why can't Jalen shoot his free throws still? I don't know.
Beats me.
I don't know.
He's definitely trying.
He's out there.
More than he missed. He was 66% tonight.
Yeah. At R. Emery 89, what a quarter from the Celtics. Now it's the third quarter. What a quarter from the Celtics. A barrage of threes right after Tatum throws down the hammer. The offense playing with pace for the first time this year. I like it. I feel like
the pace is there when the shots are going in.
Right.
That's classic.
Right, right. How about Tatum with two huge dunks in this game? The dunk on Paul George was sick. And we had to wait until well after the game to get a replay of that dunk. But luckily the NBA put one out and I retweeted it. And if you have an opportunity to look at it real quick, the Daniel Tice reaction to the dunk is hilarious. He turns around with like that ooh face. Like he is just really just awesome. Like you got to go check it out. I just retweeted it from Ball is Life account. Nasty. But that second dunk kind of seemed to be the beginning of what was an awesome third quarter. So, yeah, it's kind of funny how pace becomes a thing when the shots are going in. At Celtics 34 fan, give Mook a taco, gentlemen. Oh, I have a strong suspicion that he will be.
Tune in.
He'll
taco
be there
Tuesday.
On Tuesday. Yes. At NC_Parker, ever just stare at Marcus Smart for a few defensive possessions? So great. You can just stop it right at stare at Marcus Smart, because just watch Marcus Smart through an entire game. Something awesome is going to happen.
One note on Marcus Smart. It was hilarious. It was like Al Horford, three threes in a row. Someone else comes down, hits a three. It's a three party. Everyone's in three. Mook hits a three. And then Marcus Smart just takes one of the most ill-advised threes ever and just bricks it. It's like,
yes.
Yep, that's the moment. That's the Smart we know and love.
Smart heat checks before he's ever hit a shot. That's Marcus Smart in a nutshell.
He hurts his thumb by jamming his finger on it and then uses that thumb to get a big deflection later in the game.
Yep.
It's classic stuff.
Yep, it's perfect Marcus Smart. All right, let's go to the Rain and Junk. Are you in a position in your car to do Rain and Junk, or should I handle the
rain? I can do my own Rain and Junk reading off the notes I scribbled at a bar, but I can't read the hashtag.
All right, I'll get the hashtags. Let's start here with one of the ugliest at Robert Denton, one of the ugliest wins in a bit, and Morris with large balls hanging down by his ankles taking control.
All Mook does is make threes and make children. I said it during the game, and I'll say it now. Marcus Morris Sr. To you guys.
Ian McDonald, playoff Joe Kelly with the big comeback against OKC tonight. At Funky underscore Celtics, Jim Packard. I just rejoined Twitter to say these refs were absolutely terrible. I also rejoined Twitter to say Chris Webber was terrible too. What a weird game.
I'm normally pretty down on C-Web, but C-Web had some funny moments tonight. Kyrie, when he had that that scoop layup late, when he just like, oh man, that's amazing, and the disrespect, and he just described it as a disrespectful scoop layup. I thought that was hilarious. And then also when Russell Westbrook went flying into the stands, he said, more importantly, I hope that lady's knee is okay. And yes. I was like, what? More importantly, like, Russell Westbrook's a star. Who's that lady? But I generally agree. C-Web is a bad, bad color analyst.
Yes, he is. Let's see here. At Burger, not Burger. Oh, see, Burger with an E and then not you. Anyway, lots of players talking to the refs in this game. Jam Packard, will you give us your in-depth analysis of what they must be saying?
That wasn't a foul. That's pretty much it. Or that was a fucking foul. They're always complaining. I don't have much more beyond that.
Yeah, that's probably it. Let's see here. At Bill Bradbury, I don't know what this means, but I'm going to read it. Let's get Magic, Mona, and Moses Guthrie to save the Celtics. Do you know what that means?
I have zero idea, but yes. Magic Guthrie?
A fish that saved Pittsburgh.
Oh, that old basketball movie with Will Chamberlain in it?
I guess.
Bill Simmons is always talking about it. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I've never seen it either. I think that's it. I don't know. Maybe. Trying to do a quick Google search as I'm reading it. If anybody out there knows, then you can tell me.
Especially the guy who tweeted in. He should know.
Yeah.
He mentioned it.
At Tania Sundra, what happened to Sneaker Brad?
That's a great question. That was going to lead off my Rain Junk, so I'll use that perfectly to transition. Tania, one of the best Celtics fans and reigning Jays fans from Australia. She makes a trip every year. She's been on the Brad Sneaker beat, the Brad Stevens Sneaker beat for this entire season, and she correctly pointed out that Brad went away from the sneakers, which I soured on the sneaker look during the Magic game. I wasn't really feeling good about it. It felt weird. Brad should be wearing either some white New Balances or some dress shoes, and he... they won a game. I think it's fantastic. He either has to come out wearing some kind of crazy Kyries, the Terry Pumas, but none of these just boring black sneakers. He either needs to really come out fresh or just do the generic look. I don't like the half stepping.
No, I'd love to see him come out with some Pumas on the new X-rays that just dropped, I don't know. That would just be funny. Anyway, go ahead.
Or if he came out with the Kyrie lot, like Wheaties ones or the Lucky Charms ones, that would be fantastic. But yeah. No more of the boring black sneakers.
Yeah, everybody seems to rock the Kyrie 4s. Tatum had the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Kyrie 4s on tonight.
Which is just cool.
That's, yeah.
All right, more reigning junk. How does Dennis Schroeder get a haircut and like end up with like an even worse hairdo?
He's got that weird strip down there. I think he's got that strip that's like naturally like in the front of his hair.
But it was still very confusing what was going on the top of his head tonight, and it was bizarre.
It's a look.
It certainly is a look. Nationally televised basketball, you get commercials on TNT for shows that are on TNT, and they're always bad. But tonight, my favorite was The Last Ship on TNT. No more ships. This is the last one. The last ship. That is just like, who would watch that? Kenny Smith looks like he has some real wacky knees. It's like his knees look kind of messed up, and it feels kind of cruel that they make him run to the giant video board and display that every night. But watching him stand there, it looked like he's in tremendous pain. So that was confusing. Shouts to Celtics blog for after Al made all those threes and said the only thing more pretty than Al's eyes are those three threes. It was just a fantastic moment because I feel like, and I'm going to take a lot of credit for this, I feel like I made it cool to talk about how hot Al's eyes are. And then when Celtics blog is just like officially tweeting about that, that I feel like it's like officially in the zeitgeist. It's just like, yeah, Al's got really great eyes. And so I want to take some credit there. I've been calling him Al Gorgeous Eyes Horford for a while. And then finally, I think we got to talk about the Mad Brad tech.
Yeah.
What was he so mad about? I saw the replay a couple times. They never really,
showed.
One person said that he thought Gordon Hayward had like picked up a foul on Russell Westbrook. And then another person said that he was just trying to call a timeout and they didn't give it to him. So, I'm not sure exactly what was going on, but Mad Brad.
My take on the Mad Brad was that he thought that Hayward had been fouled. And so he was trying to get the ref to say, like, I think people think he was calling a timeout because he had his hands like wrapped around, but he was saying to the ref, like, Hayward's being held. Because you can see, I tweeted out the video that he is telling the, like, he reacts as soon as Hayward gets fouled. And he's trying to tell the ref, you got to see that. Like, and he says, God damn it. And then the ref calls the tech. So I think he's reacting to the foul on Hayward. Yeah. People see that hand gesture and think that he's trying to call a timeout. That's not it. He thinks that the freedom of movement thing is that Hayward should have gotten the call.
I thought that Mad Brad tech was going to be the thing that really spurred the Celtics. Cause it happened when they were only down three. And then the Thunder immediately go on I think it was an 8-2 or 8-4 run. And I was like, oh God. But then the Celtics, miraculously, that they're kind of their second comeback in the fourth quarter was just as impressive as the comeback in the third, because they really put it together there. And ending with the Kyrie scoop layup that I talked about earlier, and then that Mook three when they're tied at 95 was just the clutch plays late. And I guess they just dominate the Oklahoma City Thunder because one time Paul George was in a video with the shadow of Mook Morris.
That is one of the most ridiculous stories. Did you see the Uncle Drew kid?
Oh, yeah. He's in my notes. I can't believe I forgot him. Where do I get me a mask for that? I spent a good hour today in a costume shop looking for materials to be the Hamburglar for Halloween, and I couldn't find them. But I would easily go with the Uncle Drew mask. That's fantastic.
You just need a little bit of glue and some cotton balls, and you're good.
No, yeah, I can get that at the store.
Kyrie gave him his sneakers.
That's fantastic.
Kyrie had these cool Day of the Dead Kyrie 4s, this special Halloween edition, and this kid walked off with them. It's really cool. Is that it?
That's it.
Should we address Jack, who was pissed off?
Jack Michael?
The Jack. I'm just going to refer to him as Jack. There's no other Jack.
I think we can.
Just to wrap it up, because he's so pissed. Yeah.
Is he still mad online? During the mailbag yesterday, we got the question of what Celtic would you want to cook for you and what would their signature meal be? And when I first saw this question when I was compiling it, I was like, oh, this is basically just asking us to talk about Taco J. But then in the moment, you answered genuinely and said Al Horford, as a Dominican, would probably make some delicious food. And then I answered all about that cook life. And I see where Jack is coming from, but I stand by both of our answers.
I stand by mine. That Dominican food is awesome. I don't care what joke he was going for. Don't come to me with food jokes. When you're asking me who's going to cook me food, I take that very seriously.
And the thing about Taco J's tacos is there's way too much cheese on there.
Yeah, that's
like, my God.
That's too much cheese. And I like cheese. That's just too much cheese.
I like cheese. I like tacos. I personally would prefer a nice soft shell taco than the traditional Taco J hard shell. I also prefer burritos, but that's not the point. But I appreciate any feedback you have on any of our answers, especially if you're Jack. feel free to keep on posting because we'll respond in kind.
Also, he doesn't make those tacos. Or
you don't know that.
I don't know, man.
He makes them for him and Deuce.
Okay. I don't know. What's he putting? Is he getting some like canned taco meat, some hard shells?
You don't have to get canned taco meat. You get the little Ortega box. It comes with shell, some taco seasoning. You prepare your ground beef.
You know what I want?
I think he could do it.
I want an old lady that's been cooking these things for years, that doesn't measure shit, that knows exactly that mixes all this stuff with her hands. That's what I want. I want to go to some kitchen with mismatched dishes and forks and knives and just get that authentic shit. That's what I want. She does it right.
How about, or on November 1st, because of Mookie Betts, you can go to a Taco Bell and the taco shell will be made out of Doritos.
I'm
you can get a taco for free.
I'm definitely going to do that. I am not.
Shout out to Mookie Betts, by the way. Did you see the story about Mookie Betts? Is after the game last night? Was just awesome. Feeding, just delivering meals, and didn't really want to, like, denounce it at all. It was delivering meals to the homeless people of Boston. Man, that guy's cool.
He's
just
really
an all-around
really
great
cool.
person.
It's awesome. It was awesome. And they were tacos with an appropriate amount of cheese. Okay, that's it. That's a nice place to end it there. Again, the Celtics beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 101-95. Huge third quarter. Did the trick. The Celtics in the third quarter shot 9 of 14 from 3. Their shot returned, and that fueled a 16-point comeback. So that was fun to watch. The next game is on Saturday night, so we'll talk about that in the Monday podcast. If you're not a subscriber and you want to make sure you tune into that or get that right away, then subscribe. Search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcast. And as always, 5-star rating, good review, and share the podcast. Tell everybody, listen to Locked On Celtics here on the Locked On Podcast Network.